Thank you. And Madam Clerk, will you please call roll?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Ms. Treen?
Here.
Mr. Bryson?
Present.
Mr. Hale? Ms. Hale, excuse me.
Here. Mr. Hale's here, too. Mr. Hale.
I'm forgetting someone.
Ms. Gladyszewski is not here.
Ms. Gladyszewski is not here. No. And Mayor Weldon?
I'm here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Okay, first we're going to start with our special order of business. If we could have the exchange students all come up, please. Welcome to all of you, and I know you're from different organizations and different countries, so why don't we have you each introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, the population of the city you're from, and what is something different than you were expecting when you came to Alaska.
Hello, everyone. My name is Zainab Mufti, and I'm from Karachi, Pakistan. And the population of my city is 20 million. Compared to Juneau, which is pretty small. Yeah, and I'm here on a YES program with AFS. And one thing that I found like really different was I thought of Alaska being like crazy cold and like really like all snowy. But I haven't seen that thing yet, but I'm expecting. So, fingers crossed.
I'm Alina from Markten, Switzerland. The population of my village is like 3,000, so much smaller than his. I'm with Rotary, and I don't know. It's not so. There's not so much snow than I expected in Alaska.
My name is Moayed El Jamal. I'm from Gaza, Palestine. My city population is 1.7 million, and it's not also a big city due to a political conflict. What else? Yeah, well, I expected more snow than rain, and actually the opposite happened. but it's not a bad thing. I like the change. Usually in my country, we had a kind of a mild weather. It's the Mediterranean weather. A bit mild, rainy, doesn't get very hot, doesn't get very cold. And one of the surprising things, we don't get snow. And so my first snow was here in Alaska.
Hello, I'm Richard Lehner from Austria. I'm 17 years old. Now I come from a city with 1,800 people. I'm part of the Rotary Exchange program. And yeah, I didn't even know that Alaska was part of the United States. and then, yeah, I thought of it like, yeah, it was all cold and a lot of snow all year round, that you guys would like go to work, the dog sled or something. yeah, but it's actually really nice here, so has been so far. Let's see what the winter brings.
Hi, my name is Habiba, and I'm from Egypt with KLES exchange program. And, okay, it's pretty much the same as they said. I just thought of Alaska, Juneau is like, oh, snow and igloos. Just kidding. But more snow than this, but it turned out to be sun. You should host us every year because we brought sun with us. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hamd Akmal, and I'm from Pakistan. And the city I'm from, Karachi, has 20 million. It's pretty big. And the one thing I wasn't expecting here was the wildlife. That's pretty free. Yeah.
I forgot to say that Giza has, the population is 3.7 million.
Thank you.
Well, welcome to you all, and I hope you enjoy your year. So after you shake my hands, please go down the line and shake everybody else's.
Hey, glad that you're here. Hi. Nice little talk there.
Welcome. Nice to see you. I think I saw you at the polio walk, didn't I?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome.
Hi, welcome
to town. Glad to be here.
Perfect. And they are welcome to stay for as long in the meeting they want and come back anytime. Anyway, that brings us to approval of minutes. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to recommend and say that August 9th and August 20th, August 28th and August 29th of 2018 minutes be approved and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objection or corrections? Seeing and hearing none, minutes are approved. Mr. Manager, you have any requests for agenda changes?
No requests, thank you.
Okay, that brings us to public participation on non-agenda items. Do we have a sheet, Madam Clerk? All right, looks like we have two people, so we'll give you 3 minutes. So, Mr. Quayle. Please state your name and address.
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby, number 305. I just renewed my operation permit. It was passed the inspection with flying colors. And then the pictures were taken of my lights, which is an issue. And they're actually brighter than a motorcycle. And Juneau is the only place in the United States that does not allow pedicabs to operate at night. Kind of frustrating today having to quit at 4:30 because it started getting dark. I would like to be able to get it so there's events that are December 1st. There's a bicycle event, I understand. And then there's an event where Governor's Mansion, I'd like to be able to take people up to the Governor's Mansion. And also when it comes to on the 1st of New Year's Eve at night, I have had several requests that were probably a lot safer for people to actually ride in my pedicab than have to slide in the ice. It was really a nice icy night, and it was actually safer to ride in my pedicab than to walk on the streets. I like to get it so pedicabs are able to operate at night. And the big bottom line is they can do it safely, and that's the main reason. And I can't see any reason why not. And you should get Juneau out of the horse and buggy age, because that's when the regulation was made. And that's it. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Quayle? All right. Thank you, Mr. Coyle.
Yeah.
Mr. Woodby.
Thank you. My name is Doug Woodby, and I live at 3240 Noel Avenue in Juneau. And I'm here representing 350 Juneau, which is a local affiliate of 350.org, an international organization that seeks solutions for our climate crisis. And the number 350 represents the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that scientists tell us above which we do not want to be if we're going to sustain life on the Earth. And we're right now at about 408 parts per million. So I'm assuming you received some documents here. My assistant, Dr. Elaine Schroeder, will distribute some documents here. What she's going to give you is a press release that summarizes the recent International Panel on Climate Change report, as well as an article from the Washington Post that explains in plain language what that report says. And in plain language, what the report says is that our planet is in very grave crisis with respect to climate, more than we previously thought, and as a result, we all need to do much more to stem the climate crisis than we previously thought. The forecast that they present is that the world's emissions, the carbon emissions, would need to drop by about 40 to 50% below what they are now by 2030, which gives us just a little over a decade to reach that goal. And by the middle of the century, at 2050, we need to actually reduce it down to zero net emissions. It's a big ask. Now, there is a long laundry list of very bad things that will happen if we don't achieve this stricter goal. And just as an example, we're likely to lose all of our coral reefs instead of just most of them. We'll have more intense fires and droughts, think California, more intense hurricanes, think the Gulf Coast, Florida, Puerto Rico, etc. The list goes on and on of very bad news. The good news is that Juneau passed the Renewable Energy Strategy last February. And that strategy asks that we convert our energy usage to 80% renewable by 2045. And I think what the report tells us is that we really need to make that happen through action and that we need to get going. And what I'm here to say is that I'm here to urge you to face this climate crisis as an opportunity. And what I mean by that is an opportunity for Juneau to become a model city, for us to make the transition to renewables and make Juneau a prosperous and desirable place to live. And we wouldn't have to do that just because it's the right thing to do. It also makes great economic sense. And I think the Juneau Commission on Sustainability is doing some great work, but the basic message is if we convert, if we do the transition that we're talking about in the Juneau Renewable Energy Strategy, we'll stop sending our dollars south and we'll rely more on our energy dollars south, and we'll rely on renewable energy here. It's a big ask. I think it's up to all of us. And frankly, we're looking to you for the leadership to make this happen. And that's all I have to ask. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Woodby?
Thank you.
Seeing and hearing none,
thanks
you.
Much.
Thanks.
Any other public participation on non-agenda items? Seeing and hearing none, that brings us to the consent agenda. Any public requests for consent agenda changes? Hearing and seeing none, any assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Okay, assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move adoption of the consent agenda, and I ask unanimous consent.
Any objection? Seeing and hearing none, the consent agenda is adopted. That moves us to public hearing. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-46, an ordinance extending the sunset date relating to licenses to use certain rights of way for the selling of food and beverages and related uses.
Mr. Manager. Ms. Deputy Manager.
Madam
Sorry,
Mayor.
Madam Deputy Manager.
By any other name. This ordinance would extend the sunset date 3 more years for 2 CBJ codes. Ordinance 2017-02 authorized the manager to issue licenses for food and beverage vendors to operate on pedestrian rights of way. Section 5 of Ordinance 2017-02 imposed a sunset clause that will automatically repeal that ordinance on December 31st, 2018. Ordinance 2017-02 appears to be providing benefits for the community, and it should be extended 3 more years. This ordinance would allow the manager to continue issuing licenses for food and beverage vendors until December 31st, 2021. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Deputy Manager. We have one person down for public comment. Mr. Heumann. Okay. Any other public wish to testify on this agenda item? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the assembly. All of you jump at one. Ms. Hale.
I move that this ordinance be adopted.
Any objections? Do you need to have it stated more than that? Okay. Okay, hearing and seeing none, this ordinance is adopted. Moving on to unfinished business. Mr. Turney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On June 1st, 2018, the CBJ assessor denied a request from the Juno Church of the Nazarene for a complete religious use exemption for 4.3 acres of property located at 3220 Mendenhall Loop Road. The church filed a timely appeal on June 25th, 2018. The assembly accepted the appeal and referred it to a hearing officer. The CBJ assessor had assessed the property because there was no evidence of religious use on the entire 4.3 acres. Consistent with Seal Trust 1, the assessor considered evidence after the appeal was filed and determined that there was now evidence of religious use of the property to justify a complete tax exemption. The assessor granted the religious exemption, which mooted the appeal. On October 15th, the hearing officer issued a proposed order that the appeal be dismissed and the CBJ shall refund the church its appeal costs and taxes paid plus interest, which total $4,291.81, as provided by CBJ and state law. CBJ Appellate Code 0150150C governs this process. Unless rejected or modified by an affirmative vote of the assembly tonight, the hearing officer's proposed order shall be deemed adopted by the assembly. No testimony or evidence of any nature other than that contained in a timely filed objection may be received by the assembly at this meeting. I do not believe an objection has been filed.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. We'll bring it back to the assembly. Mr. Jones.
I move orders for the day.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. That brings us to new business. Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, Juno Compost LLC proposes to lease CBJ property near Home Depot and adjacent to the South Lemon Creek gravel pit. Proposal states that it will help conserve limited landfill space and help promote recycling, which are both goals of the assembly. 5309260 states that the proposal shall be reviewed by the assembly for a determination of whether the proposal should be further considered, and if so, whether by direct negotiation with the original proposer or by competition after an invitation for further proposals. Upon direction of the assembly by motion, the manager may commence negotiations for lease. On October 22, 2018, the Lands Committee reviewed the proposal and recommended leasing CBJ property to Juno Compost LLC at fair market value. I recommend a motion authorizing the manager to negotiate a fair market value lease of CBJ property with Juno Compost LLC.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. And do we decide if the public talked about, does any member of the public want to talk about this item before we bring it to the assembly? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the assembly. Ms. Treem.
I move that we authorize the city manager to negotiate a fair market value lease of the CBJ property with Juno Campos, LLC.
Any objection? Seeing and hearing none, go forth and negotiate. Okay. Item number B under new business. Mr. Manager.
Alaska Sustainable Seafoods, LLC, doing business as Deckhand Dave's, proposes to purchase Gunakadeat Park, otherwise known as Pocket Park, from the CBJ for a food court area. 5309260 states that the proposal shall be reviewed by the Assembly for determination of whether the proposal should be further considered, and if so, whether by direct negotiation with the original proposer or by competition after invitation for further proposals. On October 8, 2018, Parks and Rec Advisory Committee recommended retaining Gunakadeat Park as a special use area and requesting that staff develop options for future development or disposal. On October 22, 2018, the Lands Committee recommended to decline Deckhand Dave's proposal to purchase Gunakadeat Park and return the $500 application fee, but that if using the lot for a food court is desired and is necessary, a temporary annual lease should be explored. I recommend a motion to return the $500 application fee and to decline the application to sell Gunakadeat Park to Deckhand Dave's. And second, I recommend a motion to authorize the manager to negotiate a temporary fair market value lease of Gunakadeat Park to Deckhand Dave's.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak on this item? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. It looks like you're looking for two motions. Okay. Mr. Edwardson. Assembly action. Mr. Edwardson, would you like to recommend a motion?
I move that CBJ return the $500 application fee to decline the application to sell Gunakadeat Park to Deckhand Dave's. And I also move that the city manager negotiate temporary fair market value lease of Gunakadeat Park to Deckhand Dave's, and I recommend unanimous consent.
Can we deal with two motions at the same time? Or let's just deal with the first one. So the first one is to motion to return the $500 application and decline the application. Is there any objection to this motion? Mr. Jones.
A question, probably for the attorney. The applicant mentioned that during a discussion at the Lands Committee that he had also put in an offer on the surrounding land, the old Gaston apartments. This motion doesn't exclude, if that were to come to fruition, from him coming back to the Assembly and say, I now own the other parts, because the Lands Committee had talked about, the Lands Department had talked about. We'd like to see that as a package. It might make it more feasible to both sell and develop, redevelop that land. And I want to make sure that this motion doesn't exclude this applicant if he were successful on the other side.
That's correct, Mr. Jones. There's nothing that I've heard that would exclude this. So if that were to be presented at a later date, the Assembly would have discretion to decide that at that time.
Thank you. I don't have any objections.
Okay. Any objections to the first motion? Seeing and hearing none, that motion passes. And now on to the second motion. Any objection to the second motion? Mr. Jones.
I object. And I'd like to speak to my objection.
Please do so.
The proposal that was brought forward for the use of the land, I thought was very well done. It was very thoughtful. And it dealt with a lot of the issues that could easily rise to objections from surrounding businesses, in terms of permanent bathrooms, water, sewer, access, all expensive infrastructure that a person purchasing the land would have to put together in order to probably qualify for all the permits and the conditional use permit that would be required. To do a short-term lease would make it financially impossible for, I think, the applicant to meet those kind of objections. I doubt that on a year-to-year lease, he would be willing to put in the kind of money for the infrastructure that I think would be required by us and certainly required by the other businesses surrounding this applicant. And I think it would do a disservice to try and negotiate a short-term lease and expect this individual to put in the kind of infrastructure that I think we would need. And secondly, I think it's a great idea, and if he owned the land outright and he owned the other land around it and he wanted to do that, that would be his prerogative to develop his land. But this is CBJ land, and it would set us up on a short-term basis to be in competition with brick-and-mortar restaurants right downtown that struggle to get tourists in and things like that. And I'm sure on a lease, they probably would only be operating in the summer, wouldn't be year-round because of the infrastructure needs. So I just think we would, one, do a disservice to the applicant. I think we'd do set up some barriers that we'd be leasing the property that they couldn't meet. And I think we would increase the amount of concern from neighboring businesses, both food businesses and others, to leasing this on a short-term basis for this kind of operation. So I think we should not negotiate a lease. I don't think we should take it off the table. But I just think unless we're willing to lease it for a long enough time that they could recoup the investment to put in the infrastructure, because I don't think we want to put in the bathrooms. I don't think we want to put in those kind of things. So I just think that this kind of a motion is just not appropriate at this time. I think it just sets it up to be a failure.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Bryson.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Deccan Dave, if I'm referring to the applicant through that, his motivation for wanting to lease the land is he was under the impression that he is going to lose his existing lease at the Archipelago project. That was his motivation because he said, I'm not going to have a place to go next year. That project has not been approved by the assembly, and if it got stalled, he would not lose his lease, his existing lease, where he's currently at. This is kind of putting the cart before the horse. We have to approve that project first, which would then displace him. Would be an appropriate time to then talk about leases for the displaced food carts that would need a home to go to, but right now they still have a home until we approve the Archipelago project, which would displace them.
Okay, is that an objection then, Mr. Bryson?
I think that I would have to object in
okay.
Ms.
Dream?
Grounds.
May I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Does the city manager have discretion over how temporary the temporary lease is?
Go ahead, Mr. Manager.
I think the short answer is yes. And I think the question is, you know, whether how fast we think the property reasonably would develop into a permanent development. And I don't know the answer to that. I've reached out to the owner of the owner's representative of the adjacent property three times since we settled the litigation on the idea of a joint marketing approach. And I have yet to have a proposal back from that owner.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
So would that be part of the negotiation, would be the time frame?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I guess speaking for this proposal, a lease is an arm's-length transaction. So whether or not something was viable, I think, should be left up to the lessee, not necessarily the assembly. And let's see, there's one other thing. Yeah, I lost it.
That's okay. Mr. Bryson.
I'm speaking with the representatives from Morse Group for the Archipelago project. They indicated that at the completion of their project, that they would have those spaces available again. So any business, any food carts that were displaced would have leased or available spots to release at the completion of the project. They also indicated that they'd be willing to at least participate in helping move those businesses. So we have that's why I said cart before the horse, because we haven't, until we solve that issue, we don't know if we need to solve this issue.
Okay, so you're still objecting. Ms. Hale.
I've spoken with additional people who have carts down on the archipelago property, and there's a lot of concern that they will lose their location. And when I advocated on the Lands Committee that we explore a possible lease, I'm thinking we don't want to put all these people out of business because they don't have any location this summer. And my concern with...
Mrs. Hale, can you object or agree with the motion on the floor? It sounds like you're going down a different path.
I don't object. I'm sorry.
Okay. Because we're not talking about the Morris Archipelago Group right now. So, Mr. Edwardson.
And I thank Mr. Bryson. He refound my thread for me. Once again, on the arm's length transaction portion of it, whether or not Morris is going to build on the archipelago lot, businesses make plans that are in their own self-interest. So I don't really want to second guess and say, well, they want to move because of the Morris Communication Development, or they want to move because of something else. What we're saying is we want the city manager to be able to negotiate a short-term lease. If they don't want one, we can't make them take one.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Mayor, first a clarification, that did the motion contain a term, or just that the manager be allowed to negotiate a lease?
Short term. Let's
see. I believe it did not include a term.
Madam Mayor, no, and I don't believe that the Lands Committee discussed a specific term.
Okay. Thank you. So, I mean, speaking to that, I think that I've sort of struggled with this one as I looked at it and followed what the Lands Committee recommended. I guess the more I've thought this through, the less I find myself in agreement with the PRAC's recommendation that it remain a special use area. I think ultimately, as we look down the road of what this motion will or won't set in motion, this decision will or won't set in motion, I'm not remembering, and I'm not seeing a vision for this parcel as a pocket park. I'm also not seeing the need: 2 blocks from Marine Park, 3 blocks from Rizal Square, 4 blocks from Bishop Kenny Peace Park. So I think that the long-term consideration is really for some use of this space, I think ideally marketed together with the surrounding land. Mr. Jones alluded to wanting to reconsider this or readdress this if the owner of the adjacent land came in. But I think that there are some valid considerations with regard to what else is going on downtown in the next couple of years where some of these businesses exist. So I think something in the short to midterm benefits all of those things. It benefits the folks who are in business now who do stand to lose their location. I think it sets us up as the ownership of the surrounding land either changes or decides not to, and some plan for reuse of that area comes to fruition. I think it positions the city to make the best use of this parcel. And so I'm gonna support the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. And I'll come back to Ms. Hale, because I kind of shut you off a little bit. Do you want to speak for the motion or against the motion? I wanted you to see how some of the other ones did it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I will speak for the motion, and I do believe that it is timely now. for the manager to pursue this lease, because even though it only seems like it's November, and time marches very quickly before it's spring.
Thank you, Ms. Hale.
Thank you.
Any other objections or comments? All right. We have objection.
I just want to make a comment from the Lands Committee. The Lands passed the motion to return the $500 application fee, decline their make a recommendation to decline their application, and send it to PRAC because they're in charge of property. We did not pass this motion to authorize a lease. That so was not a motion from Lands. It may have been coming. It's not that there was not discussion, but we didn't pass a motion on it. I would like to ask Mr. Cheney to come up and make sure I'm correct in any of that, and I haven't missed.
Mr. Cheney, come on up. Should this have gone to the PRAC, I guess is the question.
Good evening. This has actually went to Lands, was referred from Lands to the PRAC, and then the PRAC passed the motion that you see in the packet. We came back to Lands. Lands then forwarded it to the Assembly with the motion to refund, to decline the offer and refund the $500 fee, with the suggestion that if it was appropriate to negotiate a lease, that the actual motion from Lands was a little softer than recommending it. It was, if the Assembly finds this to be appropriate, then this would be an appropriate party to pursue the lease. I also want to make one clarification. I'm not sure if everyone's on the same page. At this point, the Assembly is merely deciding whether or not to work with the original proposer. If that is approved for a lease, it would be negotiated with the applicant, and then it would come back to the Assembly for final approval. So discussions of cost, terms, all that would still have one more time for the Assembly to approve.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cheney. Any questions for Mr. Cheney while he's up there? Ms. Becker?
Just clarification. My recollection of it was that if PRAC thought it was appropriate, not if the Assembly did, because it was going to go to them first and then come back to the Assembly and go to the manager. And it had some steps. So you thought that the Assembly would be making the decision as to suggesting the lease, or did you think PRAC was going to be discussing that?
As I remember, the PRAC discussed it and was not interested in the sale of the property at this time. But they were generally interested in a potential lease or use of the property for a food court as a short-term option. We have a downtown blueprint going on right now, which is a planning process, and the Parks and Rec comprehensive plan, neither one of which have been completed. So the PRAC didn't feel like getting in front of those two and recommending sale of the lot. So there's a lot of things in motion right now.
I agree.
Thank you, Mr. Cheney. Well, we have objection. So, Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Mr. Bryson?
No.
Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Ms. Dream?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Glanishevsky's absent. Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-3.
Oh, we didn't hear the three.
I said three.
No. It's all right. So we're moving on to the senior citizen disabled veteran late filed hardship exemption. And Mr. Manager, are you taking this one?
The assessor received a senior citizen disabled veteran real property hardship exemption application. The Assembly needs to determine whether to accept or reject the late filed tax assessment appeal. Evidence on the assessment itself or the merit of the appeal is not relevant. the Assembly should consider each request separately and determine whether or not the property owner was unable to comply with the 30-day filing requirement. The burden of proof is upon the property owner to show the inability to file a timely appeal. In this context, the word unable does not include situations in which a property owner forgot about or overlooked the assessment notice, was out of town during the period for filing an appeal, or similar situations. Rather, it covers situations that are beyond the property owner's control and would prevent a property owner from recognizing what is at stake in dealing with it. Examples of this would include physical or mental disability serious enough to prevent a person from dealing rationally with their private affairs. Disagreeing with the amount of the assessment does not constitute inability to submit a timely appeal, nor does a notice of assessment being sent to a wrong address. The property owner is responsible for keeping current correct address on file with the assessor's office. If the Assembly decides to accept one or more late filed appeals, those assessment appeals will be referred to the assessor for review and action.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this item? Quiet public today. I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Keel, if you want to take this one.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly accept the late filed senior citizen disabled veteran tax exemption.
Any objections? Seeing or hearing none, we accept the late filed objection. Late filed application. Okay, item D. Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, Harry Commercial Marine proposes to continue leasing the Auk Bay Boatyard. Harry Commercial Marine leased the boatyard when it was at Statter Harbor and after it relocated to the Auk Bay loading facility. The ordinance authorizing the most recent lease recently expired. 5309260 states that proposal shall be reviewed by the Assembly for a determination of whether the proposal should be further considered, and if so, whether by direct negotiation with the original proposers or by competition after an invitation for further proposals. Upon direction of the Assembly by motion, the manager may commence negotiations for the lease. On August 30, 2018, Docks and Harbors Board reviewed the proposal and recommended leasing the Auk Bay Boatyard to Harry Commercial Marine at fair market value. I recommend a motion to authorize the port director to negotiate fair market value lease of the Auk Bay Boatyard with Harry Commercial Marine.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this item? Mr. Becker is not saying no. So. All right, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Becker, would you like to take this one?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that we authorize the port director to negotiate a fair market value lease of the Auk Bay Boatyard with Harry Commercial Marine and ask for unanimous consent.
Do we have any objections? Seeing and hearing none, the motion passes. Which leads us to staff reports.
No staff reports, thank you.
Okay, that brings us to Assembly reports. So I will start with the mayor reports, and first a couple items of business before we get into everything that I've done in the last few days. So number one, we had testimony tonight from Mr. Woodby with talking about the climate change, and I have asked the deputy manager to compile a list of what the city is doing in regards to energy saving, and so she is working on that as we speak. So we are doing, at least trying to figure out where we are in the city. So the other item of business I have is our child care special committee. And I will hand out. Pass those down. So just a reminder to everybody, this committee was formed to address some issues that were brought before the Assembly, and the main two issues were should child care be part of the municipal core funded functions, and to what extent, if any, should the education be part of the child care. And these issues were raised with the Assembly for a specific proposed funding solution, and the proposal failed to get final approval. So it's our desire now to continue to address this issue. So hence, we have formed a special committee, the Child Care Committee. What I've just handed out to you is the charging documents for it, and it talks about collecting public opinion, doing analysis of options, and presenting options to the Assembly. Mr. Jones has graciously agreed to be the chair of this committee, and our other members from the Assembly will be Mr. Edwardson, Mr. Hale. Excuse me, I did the same thing. Mr. Hale is doing a lot of work tonight. Ms. Hale and Mr. Bryson. And from the public, we have Bridget Weiss, Eric Erickson, and Blue Scheibler. And in the document, if you look at it, they have a little bit of a timeline. They will have some staff support, and you will be able to have limited funding if needed to conduct polls. And Mr. Manager will talk about the staff support.
Madam Mayor, the Library and Museum Director, Mr. Barr, has volunteered himself to provide staff to the committee. I think he'll have some insight and is excited about that opportunity.
Good. That will be a fine addition to this committee for staff support. So, Mr. Jones, do you want to say anything before we move on to our next item?
No, just let the committee know that sometime this week we'll try to figure out when our first meeting is. In talking with at least one other of the public members, I think we'll probably try to shoot for Fridays. Seem okay. To be the day of least resistance for people that aren't part of our group. But sometime this week, we'll get that information out.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. And just a reminder, everybody, these will all be public meetings, so the public is welcome to listen in and provide testimony whenever appropriate. So, all right, and the other item that we're going to talk about is our retreat is coming up quicker than so I'm passing out our old assembly goals, and we'll have Madam Deputy Manager talk about some changes, that just brief little changes that we made, and she updated it. So if you will talk about it. Ms. Deputy Manager.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As the document makes its way around, I assume that it will look fairly familiar to you. This is the Assembly Goals from 2017. Has not been changed in any substantive way in terms of the goals and implementing actions, but it is slightly reorganized, and by slightly, I mean truly slightly. So we got into some discussion about whether the gray shaded boxes were headers or strategic goals. And so they've been numbered as overall strategic goals and then lettered according to the implementing actions, just a slight revision. After discussions with Madam Mayor, in addition, you'll see a new column titled AA, and that is a rudimentary attempt to indicate what type of assembly action is required, whether we're looking for policy development, funding, general support, or whether it's mostly an operational issue. So as an example, things like support of Juno Access, expanding Juno's position as a research center, those things have been largely supportive in nature versus perhaps something that the Assembly is more time-consuming, such as economic incentives around housing and economic development. So some attempt to sort of strategize what's going on, although I would imagine there'll be some discussion about whether those are correct or not. That's a first attempt. And finally, the other thing that you'll notice about this is we have tried to give you a status update as of November 5th, 2018. I don't believe Madam Mayor has finalized her agenda yet for the retreat on the 1st. I believe there'll probably be a little bit more detail from the manager at that time regarding each of these actions.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Manager. So yes, the retreat will be happening December 1st. I want to reach out and thank, there's a few of you that submitted some ideas, and I appreciate your input on what we're going to do on that retreat. Now I'm asking you to look at the goal sheet and submit by November 19th. If you think that any of the goals should come off, there no longer should be a focus, or else we've already accomplished them, or if anything is missing or should be moved up in importance. So again, I'd appreciate your input on that. So, and we'll try to get a packet out the week before our meeting with some of the items that Deputy City Manager talked about. So that's it for the retreat. Any questions on that? Yes, Ms. Hale.
So you're asking, Madam Mayor, by November 19th, should any of the goals come off? Should any move?
Should any of the goals come off, either because you don't think they're as important anymore or they've already been accomplished, or if there's anything that you think that we're missing as a goal to add?
Okay. So, thank you, Madam Mayor.
All right. See no other questions. I'll move on with the rest of my mayor's report. I attended a high school assembly honoring the JDHS Girls Cross Country State Champs. That was pretty fun. Rotary had their polio run walk event. I attended the sale dinner, which was quite a gala, and they honored Jeffrey Clow and Kim Kiefer, both which were very longtime city employees. I had a meeting with the city staff with the Bayshire executive to discuss the senior assisted living housing project that they're looking at doing. I was able to go to Petersburg for the Southeast Swim Meet, and it was fun to see all the different teams. And many of the swimmers there from Juneau went to state, qualified for state, and did well this last weekend. Also, congratulations to Thunder Mountain High School girls volleyball for winning their first ever Southeast title, and they're headed to state next week. So that should be a fun event for them. I also attended a workforce consortium meeting at the high school with Karen Smallen and her group, talking about the CTE programs at the high school. I attended the Downtown Blueprint and saw many of you there with our little stickers and our little pumpkin Halloween stickers. That was a fun event. And then I was also able to speak with Mr. Volkers the day after and looked at the results. So that was quite fun. They're putting together their results, and that will be interesting to see what they're going to get from those results. The ski sale happened this past Saturday to support the Ski Patrol and Juneau Ski Club. Several of us crashed the school board retreat and had lunch with them, and that was a good work session with us, and we got to meet some of the new members, including Mr. Kelly in the audience. Thanks for coming tonight. And our two main topics that we talked about were deferred maintenance and the school funding timeline. So I think all of us learned something from that, and it was nice to meet each other in an informal session. And just a reminder to the public that many of us will be attending the Alaska Municipal League this Monday, the 12th through Friday the 16th. So a lot of us will be in Anchorage for that. So the deputy mayor gave me a little bit of her report. She's traveling right now and is on a plane. That's why she's not listening in. She attended and read a proclamation for the National Red Ribbon Week at their kickoff on October 31st. I have October 3rd, but I don't know if that's right. The Red Ribbon Campaign is the oldest and largest drug prevention program, and this is their 30th anniversary of the rally and the Dancers Against Drugs, formed by Janice Holtz, I believe, in 1987, so that's quite an accomplishment on her part. And she just wanted to pass on that she was very impressed and enjoyed the event. And that's all I have for the mayor's report. So we'll start with Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Make sure I have the right dates. I met with the Planning Commission for the first time on October 23rd. They passed, they're allowing another marijuana grow operation and retail sales. That got approved. They discussed the blueprint downtown. I also went to that, and that was a lot of fun. That was probably one of the most engaging forums that they had. Everybody got to put stickers, and then when after everybody was done, you got to go through and see what the public's input was. It was actually one of the most effective ways of gathering information from the public. They approved the steering committee for the downtown blueprint, and that planning commission meeting was a little over 4 hours. They said it was one of their marathons, and they all thanked me for staying the whole time. But I thought it was a really good experience. They had the Jetty LLC group came through. There was a height discrepancy because they had wanted to increase the height of one of their condominiums, and I got to watch the Planning Commission go through the process on how they came to a fair decision, and they actually split the height difference, and it ended up being 113.5 feet. So it was a really good experience for the Planning Commission. Also, prior to this evening, I met with the JEDC board for the first time. They conducted interviews to replace their vacant seats. It was the last meeting for Stephen Ricky, I think is his last name. We're going to be requested to change the way we handle the Juno revolving loan fund to make it easier and more flexible for them to be able to do more of that without any skin off our backs. They just want to ease up on some flexibility. They have a startup weekend November 16th through the 18th. They only have 5 participants signed up right now, and they need about 25. So they're hoping that everybody's going to go all Juno on them and sign up at the last minute. The only other thing that I did during our slower week last week, I met with Alex Pierce. She's the project manager for Parks and Rec, and Parks and Rec is working on their revision of their master plan. Last time that was done was in 1997. I got a copy of the draft plan, and I'm reading through those 300 pages of Parks and Rec master plan. And that's all I've been up to. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the Bartlett Advisory Board on October 23rd. They updated what's happening. They received their 3-year accreditation from the Joint Commission. The medication-assisted treatment program, the Suboxone program, has been very well used, so it was really surprising. They've sort of met their benchmark already very early on, so that's encouraging. They're working on some changes to Title 40. They'll work with medical staff. There were some concerns by medical staff, so that will come to the Assembly. There's going to be some board turnover, and the board is very attuned to recruitment and what kinds of questions are asked of new potential board members. They're also working on putting their board training online. I also met separately with CEO Chuck Bill, and he gave me about an hour and a half overview, which was very helpful. I met with the Juno Commission on Sustainability. It was a busy week, actually, on October 24th. And the gentleman from the 350 organization mentioned, the JCOS is eager to advance the Juno Renewable Energy Strategy. I've talked with Mayor Weldon about that as well. They are currently working on proposals for the Assembly to consider at our December 1st retreat. So they will find a way to provide those to us. As many others, I attended the Blueprint Downtown, and I agree, Mr. Bryson, that was really a really fun way of looking at things. I attended Sukkot Shalom for the memorial for the Pittsburgh victims, and the governor and lieutenant governor and the governor's wife were also present, as were many, many Assembly members. I also attended the school board retreat. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sale. Ms. Stream.
I attended the Aquatics Board meeting on October 22nd, where they continued to have discussions on governance issues and got an update on some planned pool maintenance. And then we had a committee of the whole meeting, and I wasn't able to stay for the whole thing, so I can't tell you what happened after I left. But I also got a really awesome tour of the Diamond Park pool, and for the amount of time I've spent in swimming pools in my life, I saw some stuff I've never gotten to see before, how the pools actually work. And continuing the aquatics theme, I would also like to congratulate the swimmers who went to the state meet last weekend, including individual medalist Tyler Weldon, who got third place in the 50 free, which is pretty cool. So I'm going to keep it swimming themed for tonight. And that's it.
Thank you, Ms. Dream. And I'll note that when we were in Petersburg, we saw Ms. Treem's name on the record board and hanging on the wall, so that was pretty awesome, too. So. Anyway, thank you, Ms. Treem. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the Eagle Crest Board Retreat on Saturday, October 20th, And I'll just go through kind of a list of things that they covered, but not in detail. They went through future projects that have been on past priority lists, but are still relevant, still part of the goals of Eagle Crest. A quick look back at summer opportunities, basically things that they accomplished over the summer because there was an opportunity to do it, not necessarily because it was on a work list. Current summer opportunities for the upcoming summer of things that they might be able to accomplish. And they went over several other things, and one of the things that they mentioned and they recommended assembly attention on was that not this year, but the following year, DOT is going to stop plowing Eagle Crest Road, or at least that's in their plans right now. So we're in a season of flux, but I mentioned that to the chair of the Public Works Committee also, which is where that would go. LEPC has not met since the last time we had a regular assembly meeting. Their next meeting is next week, but it'll be at AML with everybody else. Same with Airport Board. My first Airport Board meeting, I'll be on the plane going to Anchorage.
Green research.
So the Human Resources Committee met tonight and recommends appointments. There's four appointments, and I'll go through the list. Alexander Smith, the Bidding Review Board, for a term beginning immediately, ending on May 31st, 2021.
Why don't we just do it one at a time?
All right.
So any objections to the appointment? Seeing and hearing none, so moved.
Catherine Evans, to the Jensen Olson Arboretum Board for a term beginning immediately and ending on January 31st, 2021.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved.
Suzanne Dotson to the Juneau Human Rights Commission for a term beginning immediately and ending May 21st, 2021.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved.
And Kirk Duncan to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee for a term beginning immediately and ending February 28th, 2022. I will say that he's completing a term that begins now and ends in February, and then since we're within 6 months, the Human Resource Committee was able to approve him for a full 3-year term after that. He doesn't know that yet, I don't think.
Any objections? Mr. Jones?
Not an objection, I guess a question. Did the Human Resources Committee consider the short length of time since Mr. Duncan was the director of Parks and Rec and also the head of the Aquatics Board before the appointment? I don't know if there's rules about a director who has oversight of a committee retires and then comes back on that committee in terms of any rules related to that. It's a question that I ask simply because I don't think it's been a year. I think it's been 5 months, 6 months. I just wanted to know if that was even a consideration or asked.
We did not ask.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Mr. Attorney.
I can't find what I'm looking for. There is a conflict of interest provision that Mr. Jones alluded to that restricts employment within 1 year. I would have to look at that closer to see if appointment to a board falls under that definition. But if you ask me right now without being able to look at it closely and research it, I would say no. There would be no conflict. But I can give you a hard and fast answer a little bit later.
Okay. I just wanted to ask the question. Thank you.
Okay. Can we continue with the appointment, or should we hold? Okay. So go ahead, Mr. Anderson.
Are we done with that subject?
No, not quite yet. Okay. Any objection to Mr. Duncan being thrown under the bus for a longer term than he thought he was applying for? Seeing and hearing none, so moved.
And the last thing that I have, the committee also reviewed and passed the 2019 calendar as published.
Okay, and I think everybody has the 2019 calendar. Do we need to approve the calendar?
Yes, madam.
Any objections to the approval of the calendar? Seeing and hearing none, So moved. Are you done, Mr. Edwardson?
I am.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Public Works and Facilities Committee last met, and the two issues that we dealt with have been dealt with at a previous assembly meeting and the other one tonight. The next meeting is on the 19th at noon. I also attended a school board retreat. I put in my 3.5 hours before you all showed up. I was still the last one out the door in the afternoon. But the next school board meeting is on the 13th. I will be in Anchorage for AML along with everybody else. The Downtown Business Association meeting is actually tomorrow. Caught me by surprise. I hadn't had that scheduled, but I will try to attend. The attorney has agreed to swap a meeting out to later on in the week that I was going to do. I also today spent some time with the Visitors Product Cluster Working Group. It's an interesting group and lots of issues that talk about. At least two members of that group are also part of the Governor's ROLIS Rural Citizens Advisory Committee. And so there was lots of updates on there. I will tell you that amongst that group, most of the tourist-related businesses that are part of that group, in which almost all these people are not supportive of any changes to the current ROLIS rule. But anyway, they also talked about the future of the TBMP governance. Kirby Day and Liz Perry talked about that. I understand, I guess Kirby's trying to step away from that a little bit. And there's plans afoot to turn over most of that administrative function of that to Travel Juneau. But I need to do some checking with the city in terms of some of the things they said about Travel Juneau is already paying most of the administrative bills. The money that comes through from the city to tourism best management practices, that all goes through Travel Juneau as it is. And so I had some questions about that. Mr. Yucatel talked about some his developing an RFP for the small cruise ship infrastructure master plan. And then they spent about the last 45 minutes talking about regional tourism growth and some of the issues that they will be exploring both through the Innovation Summit and also part of that group. There were some pretty interesting comments there related to the summer of 20 and trying to look out to 21, 22. A lot of discussion about flattening out of growth, those kinds of stuff. So their next meeting is actually on the 29th. It's a Thursday at 1:30 in the afternoon. If people are interested in sort of some of the issues around Forest Service, Mendenhall, Glacier, local tourism, use of the Tongass outside of Juneau, issues affecting the small cruise ships, the 280-foot, 90-foot less vessels, and just sort of understand how JADC's cluster working groups work. This is a really good one because it really does affect Juneau and the issues. And for me, it's very interesting because there is a real difference between the large CLIA cruise ships and the small ones, and then there's the conflict among use in Bear Creek and small use and permitting with the Forest Service to get out into the Tongass and use it for recreation and the conflict that poses for developers and tourists that want to basically see land that isn't developed. But it's a good working group. They get a lot of work done. And it's just one that I have enjoyed going to pretty much. Otherwise, I've been sort of under the weather. I've tried not to go to a lot of meetings, but most of the ones that you all have mentioned, I've been at, hiding out in the background somewhere. I figure I always have one of the last voices here on the assembly, so I try not to get too much of my voice in the early parts. I don't feel like I can make some independent decisions later on if I've already voiced my opinion four or five times and people understand what my opinion is. So I think it's better to keep a little bit more of a distance than others have been doing. So anyway, that's my report. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Do you have a time for DBA tomorrow?
8:30 to 10:30. I'll be leaving probably closer to about 10 after 10 since I'm on the action line tomorrow morning.
All right. We'll enjoy action line. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Finance Committee next meets on Wednesday. You should all have your packets. Those of you who take them on paper, those of you who take them online, ignore the word draft. That's the real packet. Promise. Let's see. For liaison reports, the Municipal League Board of Directors had a telephonic meeting on the 29th of October, worked through a few sort of check-ins with the new executive director. That transition is continuing and going well. We will, of course, a number of you have mentioned the upcoming Municipal League annual conference, the newly elected officials meeting. We'll have a short committee meeting there at the beginning of that as we work with the executive director who will be hiring the new lobbyists. I think I mentioned our last meeting, we're down to finalists. So that's decision is, or rather our recommendation is coming up on that, and he will make that decision. The UAS Campus Council met earlier today. Couple of items of interest. Nick Bursell, who is with the UAS student government, was elected the chair of the statewide coalition of student leaders. So the statewide coalition speaking on behalf of UA students is, it's been a while, but is again chaired by a UAS Juno student. Congratulations to him. The student government also weighed in opposition. The Board of Regents has a proposal in front of it that would put a time limit on allegations of misconduct. And the Student Senate actually has taken action to, I should say that, let me see if I got this right. The student government opposed that limitation, and the Faculty Senate has agreed with the students. So they'll all be weighing in with the Board of Regents, which meets later this week. The UAS Power and Privilege Symposium is coming up tomorrow. That is open to the public. Folks are welcome to attend. There are, I believe, 24 breakout sessions in addition to the keynote speakers who are, there are two sets of keynotes, actually. Judy and Dennis Shepard, the parents of Matthew Shepard, killed 20 years ago, and Oscar Vasquez, who, interestingly, is one of the subjects of the One Campus, One Book read this year, which was a book called Spare Parts, which was described today as sort of Remember the Titans, only with immigrants and STEM subjects. So a fascinating symposium. This is its third year and really a remarkable accomplishment on campus with involvement from a tremendous number of faculty and from students. Two-thirds of the breakout sessions have some level of student leadership involved in them. So everyone is invited to take part in that, a thought-provoking day, as long as they don't do that instead of voting tomorrow, but in addition. Let's see, under comments and questions, I was able to attend the Celebrate Survivors event for to celebrate survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault on October 23rd. That was held jointly by Tlingit Haida and AWARE. I also attended the Bayshire Senior Services meeting talking about a potential assisted living and memory care project that we hope will move forward. On October the 20th, I was able to join Mr. Jones at the Filipino Community Senior Citizen Night. It was the Philcom Senior Prom. Luckily, nobody made me wear a tux. Everyone was better off for that. On October the 26th, I was able to join the manager and the city attorney at the swearing-in of Alaska's newest Superior Court judge, Judge Amy Mead. Mr. Palmer's remarks were very well received. And while there is another judgeship being advertised, we hope he'll remain in his current chair for a while. I also was able to meet on October the 24th with folks from the Blood Bank of Alaska. I think I've mentioned before that they're opening a donor center here in Juneau. They have space in the Jordan Creek Mall. They are looking at the potential for additional infrastructure here in Juneau to support the blood supply. I'm hopeful that they'll talk with the LEPC at some future meeting about that and the role that that can potentially play in our preparedness for for disaster or emergencies. On October the 28th, I was able to attend a going away for Pastor Phil and Teresa Campbell, who were at Northern Light United Church, and made tremendous contributions to our community. I hope I'm not stealing Ms. Becker's thunder there, because she had a speaking role and did a remarkable job. And then my thanks to all of you who joined us at the synagogue on October the 30th to remember the victims of the Pittsburgh attack. I know I noticed Ms. Treem, Mr. Edwardson, Ms. Hale, and Mr. Jones there. Thank you. It was a tremendous turnout, and your participation was very welcome and much appreciated. The only question I had, Mr. Jones earlier mentioned the TBMP and the process there. If memory serves, we added a small increment to the TBMP this year for some enhancements, some improvements, some additional work. I wonder, Mr. Manager, if at a subsequent meeting or even by email, you could update us on what that additional work is shaping up to be, how it's going, and the direction that what that money's accomplishing here about a third of the way through the year. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Two of our lands issues were tended to tonight, so that good work on the Assembly's part getting through these different topics. The air monitoring season is from October 1 to April 30th and seems to be a very good system that's worked out so the people in the valley understand when they can't burn their wood stoves. The next lands meeting is November 19th. Docks and Harbors approved the Tlingit Haida plan to razz the former Orr House building in order to prepare for the new cultural immersion building. So that will be happening soon. Maybe it's already happened. I actually don't know if it has or not, being gone this last week. Docks and Harbors, we received an update showing the latest version of the layout of the archipelago land, how Morris is planning to do things, and what the city is looking at purchasing and trading. Mr. Becker from Docks and Harbors and Eric Brestegard from DIPAC, the Coast Guard, a number of state agencies like DNR and DEC, and the Watershed Coalition, and others, met to discuss the Lumbermen, our yacht in our channel, and possible solutions for getting it removed. And DIPAC donated a 500-pound anchor to help secure the vessel, because that's always kind of an issue, whether or not it's going to get back onto CBJ water. So we would like to keep it where it is and not let it move. So, thank you, Docks and Harbors. The next board meeting for Docks and Harbors will be November 15th at 5 o'clock. The chamber continues having their Thursday speakers, and like some of the ones that have been recent was Scott Jepson, I believe his name is, from Conoco Phillips, came to talk about the future of oil drilling in the state. And Rick Caulfield from UAS spoke. He did a wonderful job giving a bit of information about UAS. And Milani Shivers, By the Numbers, talk. Other things, I also went to the sale dinner, which is really very nice, very nice. Went to the Princess Sophia opera at the high school, we were invited, the assembly was invited to go watch one of the performances, and that was, it was just fantastic. And students were invited. It was a student. And the Phil and Teresa from Northern Light. And thanks, really big thanks to Ms. McEwen for writing. It was a really a joint effort with a few of us getting that proclamation done. It was a really very well-worded proclamation. I think that pleased them, and I think they were quite surprised to get a proclamation from the assembly. So that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Becker.
One more thing I forgot.
Yes, Mr. Edgerson.
And I didn't hear it, but maybe somebody mentioned it. November is Native American History Month. I think that Power and Privilege Symposium is one of the presentations within that. Friday I attended President Richard Peterson gave a presentation on Clinkin Haida, one of the largest tribes in the nation. its history, its structure, and its contributions to Juneau, Southeast, Alaska, and the U.S., and it was really interesting. So I just wanted to mention that Native American History Month, and at UAS, just about every night there's some kind of an event going on.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll be able to attend some of them. So, all right. And also remember, tomorrow is an election, so please exercise your right to vote. So with that being said, moving no presiding officer reports, I'm assuming. And with that, continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Mr. Quayle.
This is a rebuttal to the environmentalist that complained about the CO2 levels. Okay. One thing about Juneau, you don't have to worry about the CO2 levels here. Okay. We have so many trees, it is unbelievable. In fact, this past summer, I interviewed three tourists that were used oxygen. And I asked them, do you have a lot better, easier time of breathing? And they said, yes. It's because the oxygen levels here. What you can do when it comes to is put a light rail to the glacier or Mavic, okay? That would help to eliminate the use of diesel to and from because they actually do use that. But after you do that, just don't cut the trees and you're fine. You know, you limit the cutting the trees and we don't have to worry about, you know, we have a tremendous amount of oxygen levels, and I mentioned this when I was running for office in this assembly. I was asked about three or four times about it, and I said, you got so many trees, don't worry about it. But and there's other areas we could probably process other areas that don't have enough trees and process their CO2, and our trees would love it.
Anyway, thank you, Mr. Quayle. Any questions for Mr. Quayle? Thank you. All right. With that, Mr. Keel, you know the magic words. Would you bring us into executive session?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly recess into executive session to discuss matters which by law may be kept confidential, specifically matters the immediate knowledge of which could have a detrimental effect on city finances, a potential legal and financial issue involving Bartlett Regional Hospital.
All right, thank you, Mr. Keel, and let's take a break till 8:30. Is there any public object to us going into executive session? Seeing and hearing none, let's recess until 8:35.